Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Good evening, and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, and her co-host, Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the hosts or web talk radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this web talk radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, and we want to welcome you all back from a great Labor Day holiday, we want you to grab a piece of paper or your journal and a pen so that you can take down notes or just comments or inspirations that you receive as you listen to us this evening. And we do want you to join the conversation. So without further ado, join us in a virtual applause as we welcome our show host, Allie, to the air. Allie?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always, always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can always find out more about Doc and her services by visiting her website at www.elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And please, if you want to contact us directly, you can always do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And guess what? We're on Twitter, so continue to follow us. I'm at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at hashtag AllieWard45. So on behalf of Doc, Rev T, Mel D, and myself, and the entire There is Life After Layoff Radio team, we sincerely say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to the experience of being laid off as well as related to other life-altering events. Now, we are back, as Mel D referenced in the introduction of the show. We're back, ready, and refreshed after the long Labor Day break. And so, once again, I am happy to be joined tonight by our executive producer, Mel D, who you just heard, as my co-host this evening. So I want to thank Mel D for joining me this evening as we explore a topic that I feel none of us are immune to doing at one time or another. And that topic is setting limits for ourselves, which then can keep us from achieving all that we can be. So with that said, thank you for joining me tonight, Mel D.
Oh, Allie, it's always a pleasure and an honor, and I'm so looking forward to our conversation this evening.
Yes, I am too, because it's a good one, and it's, like I said, I don't think any of us are immune to, you know, setting limits in our lives, so I'm looking forward to it as well and what may come out of this conversation. But before we get started, I always want to make a couple of brief announcements. I want to remind our listeners that we're using this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff or by some other life-altering event. Now, the main purpose and the reason why we produce this show each week is so that our team, along with our guests, can share with you and be transparent about our journeys of rediscovery and empowerment through life's experiences, because then that lets you know that you're not alone in what you're going through. And the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we're also here to serve you, the community, as we give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story with us as well. So with that said, I want to invite our listeners to call in and share with us this evening. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. And we certainly do look forward to hearing from you. And one more brief announcement before we get started in our conversation this evening. If you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again, at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so easy for you to catch up on what you've missed because we do have an automatic player box on the programming page. Excuse me. All you have to do is click on the particular show you want to listen to, and it'll start playing for you right away. And we are also on iTunes, which is very convenient for all of you people who are on the go. We all live very busy lives, and so it's very convenient for you to just search for us under podcasts, under Atlanta Life Radio, and upload it to your mobile device. Take it with you. Use it while you're working out to be inspired, and there you have it. So we do thank you for continuing to tune in, for catching up on what you may have missed. So with all of that said, now we're ready to get started with the heart of our program this evening. And so let me start with this. Let me ask this question. How do we limit ourselves? Okay. What does that even mean? So when I thought about this topic, I looked at it from 3 different perspectives. Of course, I thought about how many of us have limited ourselves on our jobs and in terms of our professional aspirations or our careers. Then I looked at it from the point of view of how we limit ourselves in terms of our personal lives at home and in our relationships. And certainly not least, I also thought about how we limit God in our lives. And so we'll start there, and we're going to try and talk about all 3 of those perspectives this evening. So just so we know that what we're talking about, I always want to define what the topic is so that we are all on the same page. So let's take a look at the definition of the word limitation. So used as a noun, dictionary.com actually defines limitation as a limiting condition, a restrictive weakness, a lack of capacity, an inability, or a handicap. Now, they used it in a sentence, and the sentence was, he knows his limitations as a writer, okay? So that's pretty self-explanatory for all of us. So with that said, what type of limitations, then, are we talking about? There are a couple. Now, there are the unconsciously ingrained self-limitations, and then there are consciously chosen self-limitations. So what's the difference? With the unconsciously habituated limitations, these are the ones that just kind of like happened to you. You didn't really choose them, but somehow they just kind of showed up in your mode of thinking. And I know we have all heard someone say, or we have even said from time to time, that we may do or say something out of habit, or it was a force of habit, because I know I've said it. Now, these type of habitual limitations might be the result of human domestication, institutionalization, or public schooling. So just to define what that is, these are those thoughts or a way of thinking that you may have learned or were taught as a way of life, a type of conditioning, if you will. Okay, so wherever they come from, you probably didn't consciously decide that you want those self-defeating limits as a part of your automatic behavior. And you probably, 9 times out of 10, don't even realize that you have these limiting thoughts. They just kind of happen. So then the other type of limitations that I spoke about, the consciously chosen limitations. Now, these are the ones that are self-imposed and the ones that we are aware of, okay? Now, to me, these chosen limitations are those that we ourselves are, to me, that means that we may be afraid to step outside of our comfort zone. These are the ones that we choose. because we're comfortable where we're at, and we stay there, we stay stuck, and we limit ourselves. And so as I was preparing for tonight's program, I came across this really great quote that I wanted to share with everyone. And it was made by Brian Tracy. And Brian Tracy is a Canadian entrepreneur, a public speaker, author, and personal and professional development trainer. Now, his quote reads, "You can only grow if you're willing to feel awkward and uncomfortable when you try something new." Okay, think about that. I thought that was pretty good. Now, most of us, we like our comfort zone, but guess what? If you stay there too long, you'll start to feel like you're in a cage. Okay, and so when you really think about it, what animal do you know is happy living in a cage? And so that holds true for human beings, because I don't know too many animals, cat, dog, or whatever, that really like to be cooped up in a cage for very long. And that holds true for human beings. So, you know, we are not designed to live inside of a cage. And personally speaking for me, I have come to realize that God oftentimes is working on me the most and growing me during the times of struggle and when I feel uncomfortable. And those are the times that I have learned the most valuable life lessons. Okay, that's just my personal experience. Now, when we play it too safe, you know, that offers us no challenge, no growth, and no newness. And when you really look at it, what does that mean? You really have become numb to living and to your life. So I wanted to kind of ask you, what are your thoughts about how we set limitations, whether it be conscious or unconscious limitations in our lives?
You know, Allie, as I was thinking about it, the first thing that came to mind is, you know, it's sort of like learned behavior. You know, when you were given the definition and you talk about limitations, when I started thinking about, we live in a civilized society, so we are already programmed on certain limits that maintain our civilized society. So when we talk about knowing right from wrong and knowing the limits of crossing the line of being lawful versus unlawful, we kind of know the consequences of our behavior. So, and I think limits in different situations and environments are different. So, for instance, in the workplace, you know that if you take the company credit card and use it for personal purchases, that you're breaking the law and you could be fired and also brought up, you know, criminally. Versus, you know, if you're driving an automobile, you know the speed limit is 65. If you drink and drive, you know the alcohol limit is whatever it is. And see, I don't even know what it is because I never try to get there.
I never
try to go over the, you know, legal limit of being, you know,
driving
sane and driving lawfully versus driving drunk. So we as a society know limits. And then when you think also if you were laid off from a job, you don't want to limit yourself to think, wow, this was a sign of failure. You know, we talk about that all the time.
Right,
you know,
right.
Layoff is probably a door open and an opportunity if you can see see through it. And sometimes it's also an opportunity for you to really dig in deep within yourself, dig into your belief systems, and not set limits on what God can do, okay? Because through struggles and through, you know, trials and tribulations, I mean, people come out on the other side with a testimony. So I was all over the place with that word, limits, and self-placing limits on ourselves. And, you know, we can dialogue some more, and I do want our callers to call in and join in because it does take on different meaning for different people in different situations, but putting limits on ourselves in terms of who we are, who God created us to be. You know what song I thought about?
What's that?
And it's like an anthem. I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh, that's funny. Oh,
that
is funny.
Remember that?
Yes. That's a
Remember
good one.
Remember that? Yes. You know, if I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it.
Exactly, exactly. Wow. That's a good
one. Yeah, yeah. So it's sort of like, you know, when we set these limits on ourselves, we got to think about where they're coming from, why we're doing them, and what is, and like you said, sometimes you learn behavior because maybe it was done by a parent or people told you you won't be any more than this, but you can be whatever you want to be, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, so that's my initial, those are my initial thoughts on the topic this evening. I have some others, but we can get more into the conversation. I would love for our callers, you know, while I'm on the air, I'm also watching our call-ins, and I noticed someone called in and they hung up. So we don't want you to hang up. We want you to hang in there, press 1, and hang in there with us, and we will bring you on air as soon as we can. So,
exactly.
Alex, back to you.
Yeah, I, you know, as I was thinking about this topic and I related it, as I want to start out because I talked about three different perspectives that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And the first was in my professional life.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it way back to college, okay,
wow.
And how I actually set a limit on myself. And when I say that, it's because it was in regards to the major that I chose for myself. I can remember at the time when I started college, I hadn't declared a major my first semester because I really just didn't know what I wanted to do. After my first semester, I knew I had to change, you know, declare a major, and I didn't really take time to do some soul searching of what was it that I really felt that I was good at? What was I passionate
mm-hmm.
about? And so I ended up settling for a business degree, and because my rationale at the time was that, okay, everybody, no matter what the industry is, there's a business administrative side to that business.
Right.
And so I was thinking, okay, well, you know, everybody's going to need a business administrator, so there'll be, you know, it'll be easy for me to get a job, you know.
Right, you can't be a starving artist.
Right.
You have to have that J-O-B to fall back on, even though,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
You may have been an artist.
Exactly. And so I didn't give myself a chance to really think it through, and I think I was also being a follower at the time because there were some other people around me who were, you know, going that same route, and
mm-hmm.
I think that I was being led, you know, and influenced, I guess, but I allowed it to happen. And, you know, so I declared a major, and I ended up leading me into careers or jobs that actually left me unfulfilled. I mean, I was doing it,
wow.
And I, you know, was paying the bills, but ask me, was I happy doing it? Probably not.
Right.
I'm not going to say I was miserable,
right.
And I did my job well, and I did take it seriously, and, you know, I, like you said, there are limits on our jobs, and I followed all the protocol and, you know,
right.
corporate structure or whatever. And but at the end of the day, I can honestly say that none of those careers till now have left me feeling fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was
but
making,
you know,
a difference.
Allie, during that time when you were going into college, and I think it's true of most people in your age range,
mm-hmm.
our parents, being able to go to college wasn't even an opportunity for many of them.
Right.
So for our generation to be able to go to college, it was like go to college to be a corporate exec or, you know, for
right.
us to get into the white
corporate
college
America.
Job. Right, versus being blue-collar. So I think, you know, we were all brainwashed into that thinking, and then over time now, you know, we're seeing that that really didn't fulfill many of us. So it's interesting how the era in which you're born and the time and the situation and just the status of the world and how people make money, because I think people now are more into what is going to make them happy versus doing what the status quo do. So it's interesting how, as you were saying that, I was relating it to my own situation, and even in terms of the college that I selected. You know,
right.
if I really thought about where I really wanted to go, I didn't even go to that particular college. I went to another college so I can get that big corporate job. So quite interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you mentioned that because that just sparked a memory to me. I wasn't allowed to go to the college that I wanted to go to.
Interesting.
I had to go to the college. Now, I wouldn't change it because I had a wonderful experience after I got there, but that wasn't my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
So that limit was put on me by my parents.
See? Mm-hmm.
And so I vowed that with my kids, they will be allowed to go wherever they want to, and, you know, as long as, you know, what I feel is going to help them in the career path that they choose, you know, and, you know, we're pushing them to, you know, make a choice for, you mm-hmm. know, those good schools, and I don't want to limit them like I was limited, not, you know, and there was a reason, but to me, it put a limit on me, but then again, I believe that, you know, nothing happens by accident. That was my journey. That was the path
right.
I was supposed to take. And so there it is.
Wonderful.
And then, you know, as you mentioned earlier, getting laid off. It actually
right.
took me getting laid off, and which to me was God's way of pushing me outside of my comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
okay, to awaken me to my purpose. And to use the gift that I was anointed with and which I have now discovered is writing. Now, over the years, he kind of subtly showed me that, but I didn't pay attention to it until now. And, you know, but I had actually gotten to a point where I prayed for God to lead me towards my purpose. Okay? And so I had finally made a conscious choice to take that limit off of my life and step outside of my comfort zone. And he showed me all right. He showed me out the door.
Okay. That is all right.
But
that
you know what? That's all a part of the journey, though.
It is.
That's all
it
a part
really
of the
is.
Journey.
It really is. And believing in yourself because
right.
no matter what you're faced with, if you have a strong belief system within yourself,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the driver is, if it's God or if it's, you know, some other source of the higher power that you believe in, I think having a belief system helps to shape your choices.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as it shapes your choices, it also shapes your behaviors and how you connect with other people in your life. So you'll start having people who can support you gravitating towards you. You know,
right.
I do believe in that whole energy and synergy, and I do believe in that. And I think sometimes when people put limits on themselves, they don't exude confidence sometimes.
Right.
Exactly
right.
in an area where they really want to go, but they don't exude confidence. So they're not attracting the right people, the right situations.
True.
And it starts wearing them down in terms of, can that ever happen for me? So
right.
they,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
those
yeah.
self-limiting thoughts then start
exactly.
to come out. Now let me
exactly.
let me talk about now personally and I think, you know, in general, and this is my opinion, that women kind of put limitations on themselves with regards to relationships and making those choices and when they get into relationships. Because I can honestly say that I got into a lot of different relationships, you know, prior to getting married, and I had, as a result, a lot of unnecessary heartache. But, you know, I made, and I believe that was another limitation that society kind of put on us as women. Oh, you don't, you got to get married. You know, you got to have a child by this time. You know, you're biological clock is ticking and all this. So then we put limits on ourselves, and then we end up settling.
And you know what I thought about?
Okay.
My thought process, I definitely connected what you're saying, but I thought about limits even on who you can marry. Yeah, I think as women, and I'll go into even young girls, we start shaping our limits on the type of man that would love us. And it's sort of like because we put those limits, you ever hear that expression, I never, you know, some women that marry and a man that shows his love for them and they marry them, they
mm-hmm.
say, I never would thought that I would marry a man like that. You know, it's sort of like, And it's beyond income and class and all those other superficial things. It's really dealing with how we value ourselves.
That's very true.
Yes, we devalue ourselves as women. And
yes.
I think a lot of women settle because they set a limit on the type of man
yes.
they marry.
Exactly. And I think that's pretty key in what you just said, because I think Steve Harvey has been trying to get women to see the limits
yes.
that they put on themselves through his books, which, you know, are fabulous, by the way.
Right.
But I believe that he, you know, and a lot of men say, oh, he betrayed us, he went to the other team, you know, this and that, he's telling all our secrets. But you know what, I guess, you know what, as a man with daughters,
that's
I understand
right.
where he's coming from.
That's right. What's his rule? Don't give up the cookie too soon.
<That's right.
laughs> Yes, he did.
Oh, my God, that's right.
What's the three-month rule? Isn't that it? The three-month rule? Yeah.
Yes. That's right. That's right. And
that's
you
right.
know what? He has daughters that he's trying to protect. So he's going to tell, you know, he's being honest. And
right.
call a thing a thing. You know, we got to face
right.
the truth. And, you know, we as women, we just kind of, like you said, we devalue ourselves almost like we don't deserve good.
Exactly.
Or we don't deserve to be treated with respect. And you can just look at TV nowadays and you see the images that you see.
That's right. That's right.
And it's sickening.
It is. And I just had a mental flashback to this one movie. And some of our listeners may be familiar with this movie and some may not. But they really should watch it. The name of the movie, and it was done years ago, but now I think a lot of people watch it. It's called Set It Off. It's with Queen Latifah.
That's
Jada Pinkett.
Movie.
Yeah, and see, because of life
Vivica
circumstances.
Fox.
Yeah, Jessica Fox and
no,
the
Vivica
other young
Fox.
Lady. Vivica Fox, and then
right.
there's one other young lady who's a Broadway actress.
Elise Neal.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie, because of circumstances and the fact that, you know, where they were living in the lower income area of Los Angeles and just things that happened, they just felt limitless, and also Vivica Fox got fired because she
yes.
was falsely implicated in this bank robbery, which she really
right.
had nothing to do with it, but because she knew the young men who did rob the bank,
uh-huh,
they happened to live
uh-huh.
in the same neighborhood, she got associated. So because
yes.
she was fired, she limited herself in thinking that, okay, I can't rise above this, that now I'm in the victim category and I'm going to take back my control, and she chose to break the law. But the
mm-hmm.
one scene that I was thinking about was Jada Pinkett in
yes.
that she did value, she did have self-esteem, and she was raising her younger brother who did get murdered,
mm-hmm.
but she did have good self-esteem in herself and worked very hard to raise her younger brother. But in the midst of that, because those were her girls in her hood, she you know, supported what their actions and decisions to rob banks. But she actually started having a relationship
mm-hmm.
with one of the bank officers at one of the banks. And if you remember, she said, I want to thank you for this awesome email. I never thought a man like you would be in love with a woman like me. So it's
Blair Underwood.
Yes, Blair Underwood. I just thought of that scene in that movie and how we
You're
met
right.
ourselves and how her choices, how she had more faith in that she could overcome those challenges, I think her life path would have been totally different. So,
yes. Yes.
yeah, setting those limits do affect your choices and your behavior, and it does alter, it can alter your life path. So
yes.
it
That's
is
interesting.
Serious. Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to go back and watch that movie this weekend, see?
Yes, yes. Because in every way, each character limited themselves. If you remember
yes.
Queen Latifah in one scene, she talked about, she was talking to Jada Pinkett. She said, nothing's good ever going to be for me because I'm just, you know, because of the way I was raised, and I'm just, you know,
who I am.
I'm just gangsta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
mm-hmm.
who I am. And she limited herself
yeah.
in what she could have been. And it is a very powerful movie, so I can
it
see
is.
A lot of what we're talking about tonight in that movie. Yeah.
Yes. That's a good example. Thanks for bringing that up. That's a perfect example
yes.
of what we're talking about.
And
you know what?
Women. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then each woman in the movie represented a different area of life and a different mode of thinking. You know, they were all in different places. So it's a very good example. So we're definitely going to come back and continue our discussion. But first we're going to pause to take a brief station break. And if you want to be part of this powerful conversation tonight, or if you simply want to share your story or make a comment as it relates to our show topic, I encourage you to call in. And you could reach us by calling 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. Now, you are listening to a very special episode of There's Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now, with your testimony, God can use you too.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. We'd like to take this moment to thank all of our listeners, our faithful, faithful listeners, for tuning in and listening to us each and every week. And we also want to take a special opportunity to thank all of our sponsors, past and present and future, for choosing to be with us and helping us to spread our message and involve more people in our conversation so that we can help, heal, and ensure happiness for others. So if you're interested in learning more about sponsorship opportunities or even advertising your product, service, or business, please contact me at mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com. Again, mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com. And now, back to our program.
All right, we're back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and tonight I'm joined by our executive producer, Mel D. We encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. Now, tonight, we're talking about how we set limits on ourselves. And before the break, Mel D and I were having a wonderful conversation, and she kind of alluded to the movie Set It Off. And I kind of mentioned before that how we are we set limits because we're not comfortable stepping outside of our comfort zone. So I kind of, Mel D, want to spend a moment to talk about how do we step outside of or expand our comfort zone, because there are some steps that we can all take towards doing that. So if you allow me to do that, I'd like to go through these steps for our listeners because I think they can be very helpful for them.
Oh, so, please do. Go ahead.
Okay, number one, you got to get honest with yourself. Call yourself out. Okay, you got to ask yourself these questions. You know, you got to get clear on what is true for you. What do you think? You know, what do you feel? And what do you want? What is useful and what's the truth? Okay, and some of these questions may be hard to face the truth, and it could be hard to take. But you know what they say, you know, the truth will set you free. And also the truth puts you on solid ground. And that solid ground will allow you to walk forward, okay? So that's the first step. Then the second step, change is possible. Know that change is possible. And, you know, you can make changes, and it's okay to – a lot of people, you know, don't like change. They're, you know, stuck in the status quo. But change is okay. Be able to try new things. You know, when you decide not to be a victim, you know, realize that being a victim is a lie, okay? So you don't have to get stuck there. Be willing to change and try new things. Then the third step is change is uncomfortable, and that's okay, like I just mentioned. And change doesn't come without risk, okay? We can't stay in our comfort zones and expand at the same time. Growing sometimes is going to be uncomfortable, and it might even feel wrong, but do it anyway, okay? Take that chance. And the only way to get a bigger comfort zone is to do things outside of it until they don't scare you anymore, okay? Then repeat. So you can get comfortable with stepping outside, okay? Then number four, change happens step by step. Now, change seems big when you start out, but then they end up being just a series of small steps. They're just a tiny set of actions, okay? And they're the sum of the things that you do day by day, okay? So just understand and know that change will not happen all at once. And, you know, these small things can turn into something big over a period of time. So then number five, explore possibility. Every day, write a list of things that may take you in the direction you want to go. Write a list of ways to expand your life. Write a list of solutions. Write a list of could-dos, okay? You don't even really need to keep the list because the ideas that are good and really resonate with you are going to stick in your head. So just make sure that, you know, keep a list, okay? The number six, take one tiny risk a day. Set yourself one tiny risk and commit to doing it. And that means you have to do it with no second guessing. Okay? If you say you're going to do it, be a person of integrity and a person, honor your word to yourself, then do it. Okay? It may not be the right action, but that's not what's important. It's the whole point of that is that you made the choice to try. Okay? You took a risk. Then the seventh step, every action is an experiment. Not every little risk will pay off, okay? But that's life, and life happens, and that's how you learn. You know, like they say, you learn from your mistakes, but you are willing to try something. And every action will eventually, you know, teach you something, okay? So just know that not everything is going to work out. Don't think that you're a failure, but at least you had the courage to try, okay? Because then the next step, number eight, courage is more important than success, okay? There's a quote by a woman by the name of Brené Brown. She's a PhD, and she's an American scholar and author and a public speaker. And she said, being courageous is more important than being successful. And she said, the other name for fear is thrill. Okay, so she was the one who coined this quote. And when you really think about that, at least you had, even though something may not pan out for you, you had the courage to do it and try it. And that's more than a lot of people can say who are just sitting back judging you, okay, for what you had the courage to step out and do. All right.
Yeah, Allie, that's really, really good. And but again, it's triggering my memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I will share with our listeners, and they'll get a chuckle out of this. But an example of exactly what you're saying is when I first moved here to Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
I did have my driver's license. However, driving on these highways and all of these tractor trailers, I was scared to death. I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to drive here in Atlanta with all these expressways. Now, I'm coming from New York City, okay? But
right.
A lot of
driving in New York City
is quite different. It's like driving from one block to the next, a traffic light block, not a lot of expressway with tractor trailers.
Right.
So I didn't drive on the expressway, so I limited myself in terms of where I could go.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
It was Super Bowl. You know, it was, the games were on, and this one particular Sunday, I had asked my newlywed husband to drive me to the mall. I wanted to go shopping, and he said, no, the game was on, but he handed me the car keys. The only way to get to the mall was to get on the highway.
Oh, gosh.
I was so mad. I didn't think about it. I got in the
mm-hmm.
car. I got on the highway. I'll never forget it, 85 South, drove to Shannon Mall. And when I got in the parking lot, I cried because I realized what? I had to drive home. I got there on determination, but then I really started really having a breakdown because I realized I drove on the highway. I got there safely,
Lord.
But now I had to drive home. So to make a long story short, I went ahead and called a driving school, and I said, let me take driver lessons, even though I had my license, but let me get over this fear of driving on these Georgia highways. And it was the best decision and best investment that I ever made, and now you can't get me out of a car.
I never heard that story before.
Yes, but that's a real-life story. Yes, so all of the steps that you talk about, while I wasn't consciously aware I was doing that, that's exactly how I applied it. And so I think, you know, when we talk about how we limit ourselves, you know, it can be paralyzing, you know, in terms of... It can be extremely paralyzing, and for many people, like you said, it's a fear, and, you know, your fears can definitely limit access. So you really need to, and blocking blessings. So you really have to do that truth, that session on truth, and kind of jot down these fears and things that, you know, you need to face and start working on them. And if you need professional help, you need to know you need help. I knew I needed to go to driving school. I had to seek a professional.
Right. And that's funny because then in the last step, it says risk develops resilience. Okay?
Awesome.
You gain resilience with practice by striving, failing, and getting up again. Okay? It's how you build emotional muscle. And then the next thing is, sure, have a good cry. Share your humiliations with a trusted someone. And that you did. You had a good cry, didn't you?
I sure did.
At the mall. And then get back up and take the next step, which was you seeking a driving school.
Yes.
So you followed the steps, all right. That's
funny. As you
were
going through them, that you know, memory came back. So
that is too funny.
It actually works. That works.
Wow. But you know what? I want to kind of talk about the other side of this, because I also thought about there are times when we have to set positive limits, and limits can be positive in our lives. Because and some of them can be beneficial, because you know what? Yeah, you want to, you can do anything, but do you really want to do everything? You know what I'm saying? So you have to realize that there has to be some limitations, and you can also equate that to setting, knowing how to set boundaries in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to me, by learning how to set limits and boundaries, that helped me to achieve balance. Okay. Now, an example of some of the boundaries or limits, I should say, that I set in my life is like I limit myself to working on only the most important tasks every morning. Okay. Or I may limit myself to a maximum of working 90-minute periods and then taking a break. Okay. I limit the number of projects that I will work on at any given time. I limit myself on the number of times that I will check my email. And I limit, this is good for a lot of people, the next one. I limit the amount of time I spend on social media each day. A lot of people don't have limitations on that.
No, they don't. And it'll consume you. It'll consume you, your day, and your life.
Exactly. And then also, I limit the amount of TV I watch each day. Okay, and I limit myself by working during specific hours on the weekend, if at all. And, you know, those to me are positive limits, and I think we all need them in order to have that balance. Otherwise, you can, you know, try to take on too much and because you don't want to tell somebody no or whatever, you're afraid they might be mad at you or whatever the case is, but then you're crazy. And you're out of whack. So, you know, you've got to know when to set boundaries. And so these are the ones that you choose, and which is important, okay? What's the most important thing is that you choose these limits and don't let them choose you.
That's good, Allie. And you know, as we talk about being in the work environment, I'll never forget I was hiring this young lady, and I explained to her that the job did include weekend hours in terms of when there was a special event. that we would expect, you know, the staff to show up. And she, at that time, said, I cannot do anything before 12 noon on Sundays. If that is an expectation and requirement of this position, I cannot take this position because that is our time, my husband and I, that we've dedicated for church and family.
Wow.
So that's a good limit, and she didn't mm-hmm. compromise it just to get a job. So
wow.
sometimes we have to establish what those limits are to maintain the quality of life we want, and mm-hmm. we can't be afraid to voice them. I had more
really
respect
good.
For her. I had more respect for her. I did hire her, and I did not disrupt that. Meaning
wow.
that she made up on certain events that she couldn't attend that happened during that time period that we couldn't avoid, you know, scheduling another time. She did an extra function during the week. So
okay.
it's not like she didn't give up her time. She just restricted and set her limit on it can't occur between these hours.
Mm, wow. That is very good for her.
Yes. It was. Now, it won't work for everyone, but I always say to employees or people when you're interviewing, if you have limits that are strong limits to maintain the quality of your life, you need to mm-hmm. let people know because sometimes some of the requests of some jobs are not within the realm of they cannot fire you
because
or they cannot use that as a reason not to give the job to you if you qualify for it because these are over and beyond the basic requirements of that job. So sometimes, yeah, when you're being asked to do things over and beyond, which many employers are doing now because they're doing more with less people, you
right.
need to set your limits, and you legally can do that. So
wow.
I wanted to
and
bring
people
that situation
don't know their,
up
people,
because
that's
they don't
good.
Know their rights.
They don't know their rights, exactly what
exactly.
I was just getting ready to say. They don't know their – or they allow fear and intimidation to keep them from voicing their, you know – their opinions or their limits that they may
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, for the sake of saying, oh, I need this job. I can't afford to lose this job, you know.
Exactly.
And we talked about that on that show that we did with fear. But I wanted to also, the third perspective that I mentioned at the top of the show was that we also have a tendency to place a limit on how how we limit God in our lives.
Mm.
And when I say that, first of all, number one thing that comes to my mind is the fact that a lot of people keep God in this Sunday morning church box. Okay? And so they worship God on Sunday mornings, and then when they go home, they don't talk about, they don't open their Bible, they don't pray or whatever, again, until the next time they go back to church. So then, you know, throughout the week they're, you know, stressed and carrying on, you know, you can't just worship God on Sunday and expect to have things go right in your life, is my personal opinion. I'm fortunate enough to be a member of a church that is about a lifestyle serving God, which means it doesn't have to just be confined within four walls of a church. It's about walking everyday life, living every day, surrendering and honoring God and praying and spending time in your word on a daily basis and asking God for help and guidance throughout your day and your week and when you're struggling and, you know, facing trials and tribulation in your life, and not just waiting for Sunday to pray. To me, that doesn't work for me. This time, after I joined this church, this is the one time I can honestly say that I have grown so much since I started living a lifestyle, making it a part of my everyday routine. And I wanted to kind of make mention of the fact that My daughter brought this to my mind a little while ago about and related to this topic because it talked about the Israelites and how they journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land. And now they took what should have been an 11-day journey and turned it into one that lasted 40 years. And why? Because they were disobedient. Okay,
right.
And the only time that they wanted to worship God or call on God was when they were in trouble. But they didn't want to do what he told them to do until it was time for them to, you know, ask God to get them out of a mess. Then they were obedient, and they were doing everything that he asked of them, and then they would go right back into rebellion. Okay, how many of us have done that? You know, I'm guilty as charged. Believe me, I'm by no means perfect. But, you know, I have made a conscious choice to choose to serve God in my everyday life and to surrender to him, not just when I need him to help me with something, but in all areas of my life.
Hmm.
You know, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as you were saying that, the phrase that resonated with me is let my work speak for me, because I mean my life works and how I choose to live my life and treat people and worship him each and every day, every second of the day.
Right.
Because I have been in a situation where I almost lost my life. I was hit by a car several years ago, and at that time when you heard about someone getting hit by a car, they didn't live to talk about it.
Right.
So on that particular day, I call that day my rebirth day. I have my natural birthday, but that's my rebirth day. And that's because I made a promise to God that I will not celebrate him and thank him and only seek him when I'm in trouble, that now I know I was given the second opportunity to do right each and every day, and that I'm supposed to help other people. I am supposed to, you know, and let my work speak for me. I don't have to sing to the rafters about what I do, who I am, and what I think I'm doing, but let my work speak for me. And I just think if people just, you know, take a minute and think about that and get out of the limit of structure of church, and think about the trueness of seeking God, worshiping him, and living a righteous life and doing right by others, I think they will be more fulfilled in their walk of life. So, you know, it's a very personal journey for everyone, but I agree with you that something had to happen to me for me, my eyes to be opened, okay, because I didn't really understand it, to be very honest. And I was doing it because that's what I was taught to do. But did it really mean anything to me, Melinda? It didn't happen until I was forced to face my own mentality. Yes.
Right. And you know what? God gives us all free will, so he's not going to beat us over the head.
Right.
We all have free will, and that's why he allowed the Israelites to wander for 40 years, because they chose that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them the choice to either you do what I ask you to do or you wander. And what did it lead to? You know, most of the people who started out on that journey ended up dying in the midst of it, out of disobedience and rebellion, okay? And how many of us have just been wandering around in our own lives, you know, and just wandering?
Existing.
How long are you going to exist, just existing?
Mm-hmm.
How long? It was supposed to take 11 days, and it turned into 40 years. That's a big difference. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
You know?
It's almost like, you know, the statement of everybody loves GPS now, but there was a time where we used to joke about you're trying to get from destination A to B, and instead of asking for directions, you would just want to try to navigate it yourself, and you're getting lost, and you're going in circles, and da-da-da. You know, and everybody here in Atlanta talks about the 285 circle. I know in D.C. there's another loop. There's all these loops, and instead of people really doing their homework and doing research, and you could save yourself a lot of time and frustration. So it's sort of like the same thing, the same principle. It's like, why continue to wander when you know where your destination, you know where you want to go? Ask somebody. Talk to somebody else who walked that journey and took that walk.
Right,
And seek, you know, seek guidance and assistance, and make sure you know where you need to get off at.
Exactly. I'm a victim of that 285 circle, too. When I first moved here, my mom and I took that circle. We were like, I think we were coming to your house, so we were just driving in the circle. Oh,
I think
everybody
has a story about that. But I think all of our listeners can think about a funny story of where they refused to get direction. They just thought that they knew how to do it themselves. And what they had to go through.
Oh, goodness. But back then, we didn't have the MapQuest and all of
no,
that.
We
so
didn't.
In all honesty, I have to say that. Oh, but anyway, this has been an awesome conversation. But at this point, I want to always take us to Scripture tonight, and I am prepared to do that. I want to take us to Deuteronomy 31:6. And it reads, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Okay? So just know that sometimes, you know, we think we have to wait until we are no longer afraid before we try to do something, but we probably will not accomplish much for God or for others or even for ourselves if we wait until all fear is gone. We need to face our fear with courage and do some things despite our fear. And we must learn to do it afraid because guess what? God promises us that he will be with us. All right? And so some growth work, just kind of take a survey of your life and some of the limitations that you might be placing on yourself or some that just might be there because that's what you were taught. Make a list of those things. Start yourself a to-do list of fears that you may have and things that you've been holding off on because you're afraid to do it, and take a risk. Step out on faith and accomplish something. So that's your growth work. So I want to take this time to say
Allie,
thank you so much.
Allie, can I just add
one
other thing?
Sure.
And first, I want everybody to believe in themselves. Believe in yourself. You don't need anybody else to believe in you, but you need to believe in you.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Melody, for adding that. And thank you for joining me tonight. It was an awesome conversation.
Awesome, and you brought up so many memories.
I know. I'll be watching Set It Off this weekend.
Yes, and I recommend our listeners watch it, too, and watch it differently. Look at how they set limits
exactly.
on themselves.
Exactly.
Yes,
so thank you again for joining me this evening,
Oh,
Melody.
Thank you so much. It was awesome.
Thank you. And I want to tell our listeners, please plan to join us next week on our September 16th show when we will be joined by a very special guest, Ms. Kimberly Wright, who is the CEO and founder and president of John Ashton PR and Breathless Moments Travel. She also happens to be the president of the Atlanta chapter of the National Association of Professional Women. Now, her story is not only an interesting one, but also an inspiring one, so you won't want to miss it. So mark your calendars to tune in next week. And as we close out yet another powerful show on behalf of There Is Life After Layoff Radio, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. And we do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us each and every week. And I pray that you will continue to tune in. And until next week, on behalf of Rev. T, Doc, Mel D, and myself, we thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving in.
In you, Lord, I have my faith in. When your breakthrough will begin,
failure is not final.
than you. Known as